Warm welcome to everyone here in Spec One, our 11 a.m. contemporary service. If you came, you're here, you're new, welcome to you. If you stumbled upon this service because there's no other places in other services, welcome to you as well. But yes, my name is Daniel, for those who do not know me. I have the privilege to pastor the youth here in this church, as well as the uni students. So if you know anyone of that age, do let me know. And I have the humble privilege of bringing you our Christmas message. So as we read from our New Testament, we'll be doing it from John chapter 1. There's a service, a sermon outline in your service order. You can also follow that as well. Okay, now let's pray and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that you gathered us together. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you speak to us through your word, by your spirit, that we may hear this and come to the acknowledgement that you, O Lord, are King of our lives. Help us, Lord, this morning. Help many here who are yet to know you to trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, just to share a personal story with me, my family is here, so they can attest this, especially my mom. Growing up, I was someone who was pretty insecure about how I looked. I was pretty big, as you can see. I'm quite tall and big now. So you can imagine how big and fat I was when I was a kid. And I was not particularly handsome or cute. So at the age of 8 years old, guess what I decided to do? I decided to tell my mom that, hey, I wanted a pair of glasses. Look at how I look now. Nice, right? Okay, just because my friends look cool with glasses, maybe I'll look cool with glasses. So I decided to get one. And guess what? I only wore it for 6 months. What a waste of money. Thank you, Mom, for that. Now, I hated it. To people who wear glasses, God bless you, you're great, doing great. But I personally hated it. I mean, I have nearly perfect eyesight. And why would I want a pair of glasses? Well, it's just because I think I looked ugly. Therefore, I got a glasses. Now, where am I going with this story? Well, it prompted me, as well as hopefully to all of us here, is that to ask yourself the question, what sort of glasses do you see yourself? Now, I thought I was ugly because I viewed myself through my own lens rather than what God has to say about me. Consequently, what sort of glasses do you see the world around you today? And more pointedly, what sort of glasses do you see this very public holiday we celebrate called Christmas? Because, friends, it's very easy when you go and celebrate this time of the year, get easy to drown out by shopping mall decorations, festive vibes of people's houses, parties, gatherings, gift exchange, loads of good food. I'm sure everyone, you have had too much food already and today you still have to go makan. A big, massive musicals, spending your year-end bonuses on Christmas discounts and sales. Or my biggest pet peeve, something that I absolutely do not like, which is every year, Netflix seemingly annual Christmas and New Year's rom-com movie about finding love on this special day. Absolutely abhor it. But none of those things that I mentioned, well, are bad in of themselves, but the truth remains that the world around us has given you and I a pair of glasses for us to look and think about Christmas. Everything I mentioned above is what the world tells us Christmas is, rather than what actually Christmas is about. So on this very Christmas day, allow me a bit of time to go through 14 verses of how we should view the festive holiday called Christmas. And these 14 verses will serve as our lens this morning. The Bible, the Word of God, is not just a human book, it's God's inspired word spoken to humanity. And to just give us a sentence, just right at our title on the screen, give us a sentence to anchor our time for something for you to take home today is that Christmas means God with us. Christmas means God with us. So allow me to begin. You see, the gospel according to John begins with a prologue. You see, the word gospel means good news. And this good news is about a particular person, about who that person is and what that person has done. And that person's name is Jesus. John's gospel has one very clear goal that he wants his first readers, as well as you and I, for us today, which is in John chapter 20, verse 31. On the screen, it says, but these, everything from chapter 1 to 20, are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in His name. So John begins chapter 1 with big, absolutely massive claims about who Jesus is that I reckon, give it a chance, you should pay attention to. In verse 1, it says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. in the beginning refers to the origin of the world. Before the world began was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. In other words, at the beginning of all earthly and universal existence, God is there. Which means the Bible says that God is not a created being like you and I. God is self-sustaining. God is self-existing. The one true God of the universe. The uncreated creator, if you will. It sounds a lot like what Genesis 1 has to say. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, verse 2 continues to tell us this. After in the beginning was the Word was with God, it says He was in the beginning with God. So it does seem like verse 2 is telling you and I that this Word is a separate entity of sorts. That God was in the beginning, this Word was at the beginning too. That this Word is none other than Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ. The one whom Christmas is about, the little baby Jesus that was born on Christmas. Now this Word refers to telling us that Jesus is both God and a separate person from God. Now how is that possible without Christianity falling into some, we believe in two gods? Now Christians don't believe in two gods, we believe in one God. Now, to understand this doctrine of the Trinity is at times a mystery that even Christians of old, we grapple with daily. The doctrine of the Trinity, to all the brothers and sisters here, to the Christians, you and I should earnestly learn and seek with all humility. Which means, on the one hand, we don't be too lazy and be like, aya, too complicated, don't want to learn. But on the other hand, we don't boast in our knowledge that I know every little detail about the Trinity, the persons, the work, the essence, the nature, all of that. No, we don't. But here, we learn with humility. That we acknowledge that as what our Apostles' Creed, Christians believe in one God. Jesus is God, but Jesus the Son of God is separate from God the Father. Now verse 3 continues on, just emphasizing the fact, all things were made through Him, Jesus. Without Him was not anything that was made. To be attributed as creator of the world now to Jesus is a big deal. Nothing in this world ever exists without Jesus the Son of God. Verse 4 continues, in Him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, this world moves around, this world is preserved. What makes the world moving and turning is Jesus Himself. The reason you got out of bed this morning, the reason why the world orbits around the sun, the reason of all life force, animals included, is attributed to Christ. The reason you and I had breath this morning and walked into this very Christmas service was because of Jesus the Word. So we see something amazing, that the God of the Bible is not a God who creates the world and lets the world run on its own, like how we buy a robotic vacuum and let the vacuum sort of do everything in our house. We press a button, hopefully it doesn't bang into something. Right? But Christians believe that God is the one who intimately gives life to all people and is involved in the daily things of this world. Passage tells us that it's Jesus, who is this life, is the light of men. That Jesus is like the sun. And in order to see God, everyone can see the sun. Everyone is exposed to Jesus. Jesus is the light to all men. However, you would think that, wow, Jesus is the light to all men. Everyone's a Christian. But there is a problem here. Verse 5 tells us this, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, friends, you and I, we live in a dark world. Wars, scams, the pornographic industry. But aside from that, actually, the darkness is you and I. Before even we get to Jesus later, all humanity is in darkness. We sang in our song just now, but Ephesians 5:8 says this, for at one time, all you were in darkness. And as the light shines, the darkness of our hearts has not overcome it. And that a better translation for that is that the darkness has not understood it, has not grabbed hold of the light, has not accepted the light. So the problem is that the darkness of our hearts has rejected this light, rejected this Jesus. And one of the ways that we see the rejection of this light is when humanity, especially last time, did not want to listen to God's messenger. So in verse 6, we see this, that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now this is not John the Apostle, this is John the Baptist. He was a man sent from God at a particular period where he was sent by God for a specific purpose. And their purpose in verse 7 to 8 says this, that John the Baptist came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, John the Baptist saying himself, but came to bear witness about the light. Witness means to tell off, to report off. John had one task, is to tell people about Jesus, that all might believe in him. Now, just to speak to the Christians for a moment, that's also our jobs, isn't it? Right? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, that you, brother, sister, are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That you and I, brother, sister, are the light of the world. We are to point people through our actions, through our speech, through the gospel message that we proclaim. Christians point people to Jesus. In this Christmas season, I'm sure all of you here have been trying really, really hard, the regulars here, to witness for the gospel. That we have to bear in mind that in amongst the world that we live in, the bling bling, shiny, attractive things of the world that seek to draw your loved ones away from the truth light, we must, brother, sister, speak out and tell the world that those bright things are not the true light, but Jesus is. That our lives are not about the world, but Jesus, the one true light of the world, ought to be our heart's desires and life's focus above all things. So, to dear brother, sister, keep cheering you on. Keep looking out for the people around you. Keep pointing them to the light, to the true light, Jesus, which we will see in verse 9 on the screen. Now, verse 9 says, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Now, what does it mean that Jesus is the true light? And to the whole world, in fact. John 8, 12 tells us this, that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, Jesus is the source of all spiritual light, the source of enlightenment for our darkened and rebellious hearts towards God. That this word is the one true light, the way, the truth, and the life. That this word gives light to all people, indiscriminately. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're young or old, rich or poor, whatever the color of your skin, whatever racial background, we are told that this light, this true light, gives light to the whole world. And at the end there, it says, next slide, that the good news is that the true light has come into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Once again, reminding us that this Jesus came into this world, but still, this Son of God is the creator of the world. The emphasis that Jesus is God. But, although it's abundantly clear that Jesus is God, yet the world did not know him. You see, Jesus, the Son of God, we established earlier, is the creator of all things. Thank you, Stephanie. It was an amazing kid spot. Telling us that without the mountains, the fish are all created by Jesus. Yet, the truth that the Bible claims is that all people rejected this creator. Romans 1, 20 to 21 says this, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they, humanity, are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. All humanity, although we know God, we choose to ignore and disregard God. Even worse, verse 11 says, he came to his own people did not receive him. You see, Jesus' first mission was to the Israelites, to the Jews, to bring the good news to them, that Jesus himself was born a Jewish man. That these Israelites are God's chosen people in the Old Testament, not because of how good they are, but because God loves them. So Jesus came to the very people he saved out of Egypt. Jesus came to the very people that the law and prophets pointed to him. But yet, the Israelites, the Jews, they rejected him. Now, you and I might be thinking, I'm not Israelite, doesn't matter, I'm not that. But actually, that's you and I. All of us are like Israel. All of us in our natural state from birth is to reject God. Our response, no matter what background we come from, is not to receive him as king, but to reject him altogether. So what about us this Christmas morning? What is our response towards the word, towards the light, towards this Jesus Christ, the Son of God? You see, friends, coming to faith and trust in Jesus changes the way we view the world, changes the way we view ourselves. We suddenly see things from a whole new perspective. We suddenly see things like we've never seen before. Verse 12 and 13 says this, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That those who once rejected God now by faith become children of God. And because of that, as children of God, we see God from a totally different angle. That God, by his grace, changes our hearts by his own will. That we are born of God's work. That we're not children of God by, as what the text says, by our own willpower, not our, because of, we are Jews, we are born in a Jewish family, therefore we know Jesus. Doesn't mean that we know Jesus, we are born of God because of our human wisdom or our human intelligence, not but because of how good of a person we are, how good works, law-keeping, not by the family you are born. Doesn't mean that you were born in a Christian family means automatically that you are Christians. No. None of those things. We are born as children of God by God himself. The prophet Ezekiel puts this very, very nicely. Ezekiel 36 says this, "And God, I, God, will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I'll put within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, to be careful to obey my rules." If you think about it, whether you have a child or you yourself are a child, as children, we will be able to receive inheritance from our parents. Inheritance and blessing that can come only, in this case, from our Heavenly Father. That we as children of God have a new status before God. That we as children of God receive the benefits of his death and resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, the new life in Christ, joy everlasting and peace with God forever and ever. Now the question is, friends, do you want to be a child of God? If you do, come. Come respond to God's word this morning. Repent of your sins, which means turn away from them and turn to God. Turn away from your disobedience to God and turn to trust in Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do anything. We are not asking you to raise up your hand. But after the service, just stay back, chat with a Christian that is next to you. Ask them any questions about Christianity if you're unsure. And I pray that this morning, this message today, I pray that you will listen to it and turn to Christ this 2024 Christmas Day. So as we come to a conclusion, last verse today summarizes everything that we're talking about, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus, who is the eternal Word of God, the light that shines in the darkness of our hearts, took human flesh and dwelt among us. That, friends, is why we celebrate Christmas. The Apostle John has seen this Jesus, and he wants you to experience this glory for yourself, to acknowledge Jesus as God, that Jesus is not just a good guru, a good teacher, a good positive influence, that Jesus is not just a socialist revolution person, but he is God, calling you this morning to behold his glory and to believe in his name so that you may have life and life to the full. So once again, Christmas means God with us. Jesus, who came to be born in a manger, came to die and rise again from the grave for sinners such as you and me. So I pray that you will make a decision to change the glasses as you will see that, to change the glasses that you use to see this world and yourself, to understand that what Christ has done on this Christmas day and forever, his death and resurrection, is such an awesome, wonderful truth that you should accept for yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for your word that has spoken so clearly, Jesus, Lord, that you are the Son of God, the one true God, that you are the only way, the only truth, and the only life that can bring us to a relationship with God the Father. So I pray, Lord, for Christians here, that we'll continue to press on into the new year, continue to do the good work to make disciples of all nations. Lord, for the people here who have not yet known you, may you prompt them by your Spirit to ask questions, and that you draw powerfully, draw them by your Spirit to yourself. Help us, Lord. Show us mercy, please, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.